Well, if you have any pending medical appointments, chances are you've recently received a voicemail like this one.
As a precautionary measure, we're going to change your appointment from an in-person visit to a telephone visit.
Well, whether by phone or video or online chat, so-called telemedicine is exploding as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. Carrie Goldberg of member station WBUR reports that the shift to virtual visits was slow in coming until now.
Nearly 20 years ago, Dr. Lee Schwamm helped pioneer what was called telestroke treatment, connecting stroke specialists by video link with remote doctors who needed an urgent consultation about a patient. It showed telemedicine could be helpful and easy to use, even back then, before everyone was using FaceTime and Skype. But there was no instant tele-revolution, Schwamm says.
I think spreading beyond those niche areas, there have been several really important barriers. The first one is that the laws that regulate the practice of medicine are quite arcane.
There were privacy concerns. There was resistance from insurance companies who saw so-called virtual visits as similar to phone calls, which they do not reimburse for.
All those concerns have evaporated in the face of a crisis where everyone is now scrambling to try to keep doctors and patients separate, but still provide care and quell a large tide of rising anxiety among the public.
Dr. Schwamm is a neurologist and the vice president in charge of virtual care for Partners Healthcare, the largest hospital chain in Massachusetts. That means he's working 16-hour days right now to shift as many healthcare staffers as possible toward virtual care, including video visits and chatbots. He says about 400 or so had been very actively using video visits.
Our job now is to turn that virtual visit program on for 11,000 providers as fast as we can.
It's a shift happening across healthcare as clinics and hospitals try to protect patients and keep staffers from becoming infected with the coronavirus. And telemedicine is getting a major boost from government action, including $500 million for telehealth expansion in a new law signed by President Trump and a lifting of telehealth restrictions for seniors on Medicare. Some states are also ordering private insurers to cover virtual visits the same way they cover in-person visits. Dr. Joseph Kavidar is the president-elect of the American Telemedicine Association.
The interest and adoption of telehealth across the nation in the last week has really been unprecedented.
He says there are three big challenges that many doctors, especially those in small practices, are facing.
The right software that's secure, the right integration with their electronic records, and billing insurance. But these things are all happening as well.
I push this button to trigger the video.
At the operations center of the Atrius Health Medical Network in Boston, Dr. Phil Ciampa is holding a staff training on how to do a virtual visit with a possible coronavirus patient. He's talking to a mock patient who's had fever and chills for a day or so. The video allows a visual exam.
I can tell that your respiratory rate is normal right now, and I can also tell that you're not using any accessory muscles to breathe and that your breath is comfortable.
The patient can be asked to tap out their pulse rate and to take their own blood pressure and temperature if they have the tools, he explains. So medical professionals can monitor the vital signs that they normally check during an office visit from afar. Ciampa is the chief innovation engineer for Atrius Health and has been working to scale up virtual visits since 2016.
In the last 4 weeks, we've accomplished more than we have in the last 4 years on this topic.
At Atrius, virtual care is being used to triage patients concerned about possible coronavirus. And Ciampa says it's also being ramped up for non-coronavirus concerns to let other patients avoid office visits as well. At Partners Hospitals, Dr. Lee Schwamm says virtual care also includes iPads mounted on IV poles near inpatients who may have the coronavirus. That lets nurses communicate with them without having to risk infection by going into the room. And work is underway on a chatbot to help patients figure out if they may have the virus and what to do next.
We're getting swamped by requests for advice and help, which is totally understandable.
And which technology can help alleviate, he says. So when the coronavirus outbreak is over, how much of this virtual care will remain? Dr. Kavidar from the American Telemedicine Association says face-to-face visits won't go away. They can be uniquely valuable.
What I speculate on is after the dust settles, and we know it will, will patients want to go back? Will they sort of say, hey, you know, I had that. I don't know why we can't keep doing it that way.
Ultimately, Kavitar says virtual visits should simply be part of routine care. And over the weekend, President Trump said that patients using telemedicine are loving it. For Here and Now, I'm Carrie Goldberg.